Mrayuchtuden.
Mrayuchtuden.
Sober as. Sober. Sober. Sober as.
Welcome to the Anonymous Eskimo Project, a program devoted to bringing hope to those struggling with mental health issues and addiction. Through candid conversations with guests about mental health issues, addiction, and sobriety, we can let those who are struggling know that they are not alone. I am your host, Ralph Sara. On this show, I have Annette Hubbard. Annette is Aleutic from Nenelchik, Alaska. Annette works in addiction medicine with Tribal Health. She is also a technical assistance consultant for the National Alliance for State and Territorial AIDS Directors. Through the Alliance, she facilitates a tribal harm reduction call. Annette has been sober for 13 years. And on this show, Annette shares about tribal harm reduction and what harm reduction itself means. She is also courageously sharing her story for those who are still struggling. So guys, please help me welcome Annette Hubbard. Hi, Annette. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. So, you were referred to me by Jacqueline Richards.
Yep.
I'm friends with her through social media. Okay. And I saw some of her posts that she was attending a harm reduction conference in like Puerto Rico or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was blown away because I was like, they have those? And me being me, I wanted to reach out and see if she would be a guest on because, you know, I don't know a whole lot about harm reduction, and sure. I just wanted to learn more. So she referred me to you, and, you know, I'm not an expert on sobriety or recovery or anything. I just have this because at first I was doing it for myself, you know, to hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. And I think people get that wrong sometimes. And, you know, I'm merely trying to just have others on to share their experiences and journeys on being able to live a better life and a healthier life, you know. So I'm kind of here like a sponge, you know, trying to learn as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know a whole lot about Indigenous harm reduction. So I wanted to have somebody on who you might know about it. And you came up, so
it's an honor and a privilege to be able to participate and talk about things, I think. So for sure. Thank you.
You know, when I was talking to Jacqueline about or just like messaging each other, she wanted to know like what I was after, you know, for trying to get her on. And, you know, after she referred me to you, I was like, you know, I mention it a couple times and I kind of hear it here and there. And then what I thought harm reduction was, I guess, narrowly minded. You know, I thought harm reduction was like just based on things that I've heard before. Like if you are doing like a hard drug like heroin or meth or something like that, they can put you on a lesser drug like Suboxone or methadone. And I guess that's where I thought, you know, based on what I heard from other people, that was my narrow, looking at it, I guess you could say. And then I thought, you know, if alcohol is your substance of choice that was, you know, ruining your life, maybe some people would go to marijuana, just stepping down, you know, until mm-hmm. eventually they were off everything and living a better life. But as I saw in something that Jacqueline shared with me, it's a lot bigger than that.
It is a lot bigger than all that stuff. And so harm reduction is just like an approach to treating people with kindness and compassion who are living with substance use. And it can be anything from safe injection supplies to only drinking, you know, with people who are using alcohol, working with them to only drink in a controlled time. You know, definitely engaging in medication for addiction treatment, whether that is buprenorphine, naltrexone, things of that nature. It's meeting people where they're at. So even like our unhoused population, it's harm reduction is, you know, handing out a warm meal. Harm reduction is a lot of life things. You know, it's using a new condom every time you have a new partner. It is wearing your seatbelt. It's monitoring. Like, harm reduction is all of the things of life. And it's a big deal. And I think, you know, when we try to pigeonhole it into being like, well, it's only for drug users, it's really not. It's for people who are also in recovery. It can be switching from drinking alcohol chronically to using cannabis. It could be from not injecting your drugs, but then smoking your drugs. It can be outreach, community education, things of that kind of nature.
Yeah, so there's different parts of harm reduction, not only harm reduction from like substances, but right. I even read harm reduction from the effects of colonization. So, you know, harm reduction is not, you know, tethered to substance abuse. Now, to touch on the colonization part of it, did you, was there a part of that convention or anything that kind of touched on that?
No, but we do definitely talk about deconstructing colonization in treatment services. And what that really means to a lot of us is that, especially with tribal communities, you know, it's, you're not going to see a talking circle or a drumming circle or a staging circle necessarily in predominantly Anglo-American communities, right? And so we really just talk about like, we need to do what we need to do to get the work done that is based on our values, not somebody else's values. You know, so how I approach, because I practice from my tribal values, I'm not out there going like, you have to be abstinent in order to get access to a medication that's going to save your life. I don't come at that. It's kind of like, what can we do to help you today? And, you know, being kind and compassionate, and respectful of that person, their struggles, things of that nature.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, people who have been through it and struggled through, you know, the hardships that go with alcoholism or drug use, some of the humor and the things that they share are so crazy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a language that's spoken in the recovery community, right? And there's a language that is spoken in the harm reduction community. There's a language that's spoken in the abstinence only community. But yeah, I've really gotten kind of away from like finger pointing about language with people because we're all just trying to do the best that we can with what we have. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what you don't know. And so if somebody's willing to, you know, engage in a conversation about language, then let's have a conversation about language. But I find personally that it's not as big of an issue as sometimes we think it is. But I also work with a small demographic. I have about 120 people that I work with in our small little community. And I've done things as like active users group. You had to be actively using substances to be a part of this, group. And we just talked about things that were going on in the community. And they never once brought up clientele there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what people are trying to do, it has a lot more weight to it than, you know, the language that we use. I mean, look at my podcast, the word in there, you know,
right?
Eskimo. And I've had people, I'd have people that refuse to be on because of that. And I've had Native America call and they ask me about that. And I'm like, I have to answer this question a lot, and it's changing language. And, you know, when I was growing up, I referred to myself as Yupik Eskimo, and so did my mom, who was, you know, a lot older. So it's going to be around, and, you know, things are going to change. But I think what we're trying to do, like get the conversation out there and, you know, ultimately try to help other people, I think that will outweigh what everybody, you know, kind of gets hung up on, you know, sometimes.
Right.
Hey, the harm reduction thought. When we were talking about, you know, when I thought it was just about drugs, you know, and alcohol and substance using, as opposed to this bigger picture that I learned it was about, you know, changing pretty much everything, that how we thought about, you know, the trauma that happens, the mental issues that happens, you know, colonization and all of that. Is there like specific programs that people can tune into or attend or, you know, go to learn about this stuff? Maybe people in what fields that you're doing, like outreach and stuff like that, how can they learn more about this? Because I had no idea.
The Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, NPAIHB, has a harm reduction echo, which is a community of learners. They do they teach all kinds of stuff. They have a tribal harm reduction echo. I can't think of it off the top of my head how often it happens, but it happens fairly often. And so if you type in if you were to Google harm reduction echo, you would see a list of their didactics and things of that nature that they teach. There's also White Earth, which is out of Minnesota, and they do a lot of harm reduction work. And they hold they didn't hold an annual conference this year due to a bunch of reasons. But there's the White Earth Harm Reduction Conference. And then you could look up Eastern Band of Cherokees. They're based out of North Carolina, and they have a tribal syringe access program. Lummi Tribe has one. There's a couple in Washington and Oregon. And then the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, if you go to www.iknowmine.org, there's resources on there as well. You can complete a Narcan training, order harm reduction supplies, learn about Hep C treatment, all that kind of stuff through iknowmine.org. And then I'm on the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium's Addiction Medicine Echo on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 12 to 1. And we talk about harm reduction on that echo too.
Very, very cool. Can you tell us a little bit about your story? Because I did not know that you were in recovery.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I had my struggles with alcohol when I was starting at the age of about 21, like right off the bat. I had a really hard time, and I also had some mental health stuff. And I had providers who would prescribe me medications to not drink, and I would go to recovery support meetings as well. And I just wasn't there yet. And then, so I did that for about 3 years. And then I had a night where I punched my boyfriend, and that was it. That was like enough for me. I didn't go to treatment. I started getting my mental health stuff in check and attending recovery community meetings. Got into recovery from there. At about a year into my recovery, I was working at a inpatient psychiatric hospital. We had a lot of people coming in from like the outside villages, you know, into hubs to get mental health treatment. And then they would turn back out and go back out. And I would talk to them while they were there about, you know, why are there no services in your community? Like, I'm Native, you're Native. There's like, these things do happen. There's behavioral health aides and telehealth, and they just couldn't get connected. And so I did that job for about 5 years, and I worked at that place as a tech, and, kind of merged into peer support naturally through that, with people who came in who were, you know, suicidal, homicidal from their substance use, and would talk with them through that and get them connected to resources. And then I took off. I moved out of state for a year and was ready to move back home. It's my, like, I call it my year with God. I got a job in tribal health and I was originally hired as a behavioral health aide. And so I was linkage to care and outreach to people using substances. And I just kind of fell in love with it. It was not, you know, I had mentors who were like, you really need to go into this field. And I'm like, no, I just want to stay in psych and severely mentally ill patients. And this is where I want to be. And now I love what I do. I love connecting with our community, whether they're at all stages of engaging of life and being of service to people who, you know, whatever that means. If that just means, you know, making them a sandwich and dropping it off at a house, you know, so that they can eat for the day, that's totally fine. But I've been really honored and blessed by my higher power, my creator, my employer, and tribal health to be able to really talk about some things that people don't want to talk about, but that really need to happen.
Wow. Yeah. You mentioned your like peer support, like you've been through it. And, you know, I think that's a really big thing that is needed now, you know, because before I went to like a couple of treatments before, and that wasn't the case. They didn't have any peer support or anything like that, that can help you through it, you know, somebody that has been through that. And it seems like nowadays it's starting to be a part of like all recovery places now, because they realized, you know, we don't need that person. I mean, sometimes we do, but we don't need that person telling us how to how to become a better person through a workbook or something like that, you know. It's that lived experience that really resonates with a lot of people, you know, like, oh, you've been through that too, so you know how I feel, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, because I, you know, I had a lot of personal shame and felt stigmatized about my journey into recovery, because I took medications to not drink for a year. And that was just something that we don't talk about sometimes.
Yeah.
And so my number one thing with patients who are actually on Suboxone, or buprenorphine is the actual name for it, is talking with them about the difference between taking a medication as a drug and taking a drug as a medication, right? Like, you can do both. How many of us have, like, we've all done it. We've just all done it, period. We've all taken medications as drugs and drugs as medications. Mm-hmm. And because we're just trying to treat something, whether it's a headache, whether it's a wound, whether it's our mental health or our physical health. And most of us have definitely gotten medications from somebody else, right? Whether you've done it in recovery or not. And it's hard to be perfect all the time. So one of the things that I really, really talk about with people, because they feel really stigmatized in certain communities, is the fact that they are on buprenorphine, that they are stable, that their life is improving, and they want to engage in community ceremony, and they can't. Because buprenorphine is a controlled substance. You are not switching one drug for another. You're purely taking a medication as prescribed by your primary care provider, and meeting with a case manager or therapist. That's pretty standard. Is that harm reduction? Not really. It's medical treatment. It's like if you had hep C and you needed to get your hep C treated, you would go see a doctor to get your hep C treated. So if you have diabetes, you don't not take diabetes medication and try to manage your life through that. You take diabetes medication, and medication is used to for symptom relief, so that you can make the changes necessary in your life to progress. That's what a medication is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are, you know, there are quite a few people who do take medications for opiate use disorder. They are considered controlled substances, yes. You can be on them as long as you need to. And they help regulate your brain. I mean, substances today, people are doing an immense amount of damage. And not just mentally and emotionally, but physically. And so they can't, trying to get somebody to a point of functionality so that they can get out of bed, so that they can come to their doctor's appointment, so they can get out of bed, so they can go see their therapist, so they can get out of bed, so that they can go to a community support meeting. And it's not like it was in the 50s, you know, or the 30s or anything. You know, we're dealing with a new age of complications. Mm-hmm. Trauma, housing, employment, all that stuff. And so if we can just all be a little, you know, pardon my language, but when we were at the harm reduction conference, like, we just came up with this general concept of harm reduction. It was just, don't be a jerk. I mean, we had a harsher word for that, but, somebody's, you know, and I talk about that when I go to these big, when I leave my community, my small community, and I go to a big community, and somebody's begging for money on the street, you know, for whatever, and we know what they're going to do with it, but who am I to judge? You know, like, I was a state, I was calling my parents to beg them for my rent money because I spent my rent money on alcohol, you know, so who am I to judge? What, you know, and it does, it very much, you know, recovery principles are very much embedded in harm reduction, but not everybody who uses substances wants to be abstinent 24/7. And that's everybody. If we're going to go along with this, like, my body, my rights, well, we're going to go with my body, my rights. And I'm going to try to help you tailor a plan for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you're out there. You're helping people. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you know, I was on, what's that one? I took that naltrexone, the pill.
Yeah, me too.
So I took that, and I think I had something totally different in my mind when I was like, really, I was like really wanting to quit, you know. So
yeah.
I went to the hospital over there, and he said, well, why don't we try this, you know? And I was like, okay, that's gonna fix me, man.
Right?
That's gonna make me not drink anymore, you know? But I, you know, I still drank on it, you know?
Yeah.
So do you have experience with it yourself?
Correct.
So if somebody's struggling with alcohol and, you know, they say, okay, they were referred to take naltrexone or what's the type that you,
the injection?
Yeah, the injection.
It's Vivitrol. It's the same medication though.
Oh, okay. Vivitrol. What kind of information is there about that? I mean, because I was totally wrong, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's because, I mean, that's part of, like, harm reduction, right? It's like, I'm going to take this med, I'm going to see how it works, and then I'm going to try something different, right? So there is information out there about naltrexone and Vivitrol. I really like to go to Reddit for patient support. I'm kind of have a similar story to you. I would take it. I would get restless. I would try to drink on it. I couldn't. So I'd stop taking the medication and then, you know, quickly life. And that still has to do with the fact that we're still living with ourselves. Right.
Uh-huh.
And so you got to make a change. And so it was like, okay, I'm just not going to go to the bar on Friday nights. And I've kind of always lived in small towns since I've been an adult. So it's like, well, where do I go find people? And I would hear from it from my therapist, you know, about going to AA meetings, and I would go and I would go and I would go. And it wasn't until, like, I found one that just really, like, hit home for me. And, but you gotta, you know, we're going to find our people anywhere, whether it's in a recovery community, whether it's at a trap house, whether it's at the bar, we're going to find our people. And it's always kind of this tricky thing about, because not everybody's keen on, you know, going to inpatient treatment or a faith-based treatment program, or but there's things like Smart Recovery. There's my recovery really took off for me when I got involved in the yoga community.
Oh.
A lot of people in the yoga community are also in recovery too, and I started following, like, the yoga spiritual principles, and my life took off, and I was like, this is it, this is my path. But we just give people resources for that. But yeah, no medication is gonna stop anything. It's purely symptom relief. And that's part of this new conversation that's been happening in the last couple of years about medications and symptom relief. Instead of, like, no, there's no cure, but while you're on these medications, whatever medication, blood pressure, it doesn't matter what medication, it's just helping your body return to homeostasis so that you can get to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had that thought, oh man, I'm going to be cured. I take one of these pills every single day and I'll be fine.
And I'll be fine. And you could be fine. You could be on Vivitrol naltrexone for years and never step foot into church or treatment or anything like that. But that's where like peer support and case managers come into play in health clinics. We just call and check in. Hey man, how's it going? I'm using your language. I'm not using clinical language. I'm using, you know, like, hey, I'm just, and I always disclose to people who I'm working with, like I'm somebody who's in recovery. I mean, I have the exact same using story as you do, but I've definitely felt the same.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what community is about. That's what community is about.
Yeah. And you're talking about that person that, you know, is wanting to stop drinking and you just call them, you're like a lifeline, because when I'm drinking, when I'm on a bender, I was so, so alone and so self-isolating because I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to be with anybody. I was just, you know, trying to basically, you know, I was just survive. In isolation, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and so for me, like I've done the same thing in recovery, and I have used cigarettes, men, shopping, all that stuff to make me feel better. And when I think about that, like those are also addictions on their own too, you know, which has probably made it easier for me to come from like this harm reduction standpoint of like, when I'm stressed, I'm going to smoke more cigarettes, right? Instead of like doing what I'm supposed to do and like get off my butt and go for a walk or, you know, attend to my mental health. We're human beings and we're spiritual beings and we're human beings having a spiritual experience, you know, or spirit, you know, it's like, I messed that one up, but, but we're all the same. We're all the same. And we all have a path of, you know, what am I going to do today that's going to be helpful to me in my recovery? Or, you know, every morning you have that choice. What can I do that's going to be helpful? Or what can I do that's going to be harmful? But mindset is a really big thing. And if you're just constantly feeling like, oh, I'm never going to get it, well, then you're never going to get it.
Yeah.
You're never going to get it. But if you have somebody who's just, you know, a source and somebody who you can trust, whether that's your grandma, whether that's a sponsor, whether that's your pastor, whether that's the bus driver who drives you, you know, on a city bus every day, finding somebody who sparks a little bit of life. And we can all be somebody. We can all be that somebody. We just, those of us in recovery, you know, we have a choice, and people who use also have a choice. And the world is too icky for us to be divisive over helping somebody who's not going to make it and helping, you know, like,
yeah.
It's just too much.
And thank you so much for, you know, having the courage to come on here. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Well, that's all for today's show. I hope you, the listeners, found some inspiration, strength, and hope. Listen next week when I have another strong, courageous person on who's walking with us on this healing journey. This program is available as a podcast. You can hear this and many more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts or at anonymouseskimo.com. Join in the Anonymous Eskimo Project, Saturdays at 3 p.m., Sundays at 8 p.m. on KSKO. Serving the western interior of Alaska for more than 4 decades. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. Biura!
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.